This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1.
This is The Other Side of the News with Bob Fetrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3, 102.1.
And we're going to bring you the other side of the news tonight, Connie, particularly the question of Secretary of State of Ohio John Husted, his order for uniform voting hours, and the suspension of two government officials, Democrats, in Montgomery County, home to Dayton.
Democrats, go figure.
Democrats standing up for the right to people to vote. Those of you who are trying to figure out what's happening in Ohio, first, let's go through the sequence here, Connie. First, the rural counties that are overwhelmingly Republican all voted to have extended voting hours.
Oh, so that the Republicans in their counties could vote more easily.
Well, not any different from four Republican counties voting not to purge any voters, even if they died. But since 2004, in the major Democratic parties, more than a million people have been purged, and you ought to know since you requested the public records that documented this in an article I wrote for thefreepress.org.
Yep, that's right, Bob.
So, Connie made that request, and in there we found four counties that didn't purge anyone.
That's right, they were in the rural areas.
The kind of guys Connie usually dates are from the rural areas.
I don't know about that.
Okay, well, we'll check that fact. It may be inaccurate. Okay. Getting back to the article, the question of what's happening next is, so first, like the purges, which are all in the, shockingly, the largest ones in Cleveland, the more Democratic the city, the more people of color that live there, the more likely they are to purge the voters for not responding to a mail-in.
So, too, it seems they're more likely to not be allowed to have extended voting hours.
So, you had that. And this is because the major areas don't have the budgets. They're often in fiscal crisis. So the Republicans were going to get an advantage there. So John Husted steps in and orders, through a directive, uniform voting hours. Uniform voting hours.
Well, that seems like a good thing, right?
On the surface, the problem is that he ordered them to be from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. No boards could have Saturday or Sunday hours.
They just couldn't have it, even if they wanted to?
Apparently. And this is real interesting, because there's a ritualistic voting practice that developed in the inner city, particularly in Ohio since 2004, it happened in 2008, on Sundays, the black churches sermonize on the need to vote.
Yeah, and so didn't they actually have some services at their churches, such as maybe buses to take people to
vans
the polls?
Vans and buses. So what they do is, if you're not registered to vote, or if you want to vote early, they'll take you down on that Sunday. In 2008, critical to Obama's victory was this practice of particularly the black churches going down and voting early.
Well, that's why Husted doesn't want it.
So, it appears that. But compounding the matter are these two Democratic officials in Montgomery County, who says, look, the directive does not say you can't have weekend hours. It just directs them to have these uniform hours. So they stood up and said, we're going to allow people to vote on weekends.
That was Dennis Lieberman and Tom Ritchie Sr.
And they both were suspended and pending their removal. they should be fired, according to Husted, and he has that power to fire these election officials.
So I guess my question is, does it really matter when people vote, as long as they're able to? It seems like everybody has the right to vote, and so it shouldn't matter when they vote. That's not the important thing.
Well, when they vote is really what's at issue, Connie. Let me tell you why. Because I documented this in four different books, particularly in What Happened in Ohio for the New Press. I actually timed the amount of time it took people to vote in the inner city of Columbus in the 2004 election. The average wait in an inner city neighborhood in the 42 majority black precincts, and we're sitting in one right here, Ward 55. Welcome to Ward 55.
Thanks.
Which has four precincts. In Ward 55, it took between 3 and 7 hours to vote, to wait to vote.
Jeez.
Yeah. The quickest, since I was observing, I was able to do it in about an hour and 51 minutes at around 3 o'clock. You couldn't vote in the morning. There weren't enough machines. And working people on election day, Connie, they come in the morning, they come at lunch, they come after work, and they've got kids, they've got jobs, they've got family, they've got elderly people they have to care for. And there wasn't enough voting machines. Hence, and that didn't occur in rural areas. In rural white areas, they had all the machines necessary.
And in the suburbs of Columbus. I've voted in the suburbs of Columbus before where there was no wait at all.
Well, there was a 15-minute wait in Upper Arlington once.
Oh, okay.
And they were very inconvenient. Good thing they had the help there, at least the chauffeur. So, yeah, that's what's at stake here, is this is how Karl Rove manipulated the 2004 election, right? J. Kenneth Blackwell, the former Secretary of State, co-chair of the Bush-Cheney re-election, wouldn't allow Columbus to buy more machines because they weren't certified. They were old voting machines, so they didn't have the money to buy new ones. So half of the machines needed were available. Some were accidentally withheld. Hence, if you vote on election day, you risk losing your right to vote, in some cases, because you don't have 7 hours to wait in the inner city in a cold rain,
right,
as it was in 2004.
Who would do that? Who would stand around for 3 hours in the rain in November just to vote, to be able to cast their vote when it only takes, you know, a couple minutes to vote?
3 to 7 hours. 3 hours would have been the short wait. And, you know, people literally, elderly people were passing out. They weren't accommodating. I got involved and wrote the book in part because I tried to intervene. There was a woman in her 80s on a cane, could barely walk. She passed out. After more than 3 hours of waiting, she passed out. And I pointed out she had to be reasonably accommodated.
Because she had a disability,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So
and they refused to.
It just, it just goes to show, Bob, you know, how important this right to democracy and the right to vote really is to people. People want to participate, and they want their voices to be heard. I think in general, people feel so disenfranchised in their daily life, and not just when it comes to voting. A lot of people feel really powerless. Our public schools are awful, so they don't necessarily have the education to affect the change that they want to bring about. People feel like they need to vote in order for their voices to be heard. And so they will stand in the rain for 3 to 7 hours, even if they have disabilities, even if they're elderly, even if they're suffering physical effects, to do it. Sometimes, even under threat of arrest, if they're ex-felons, people will still come and show up to vote and to exercise their right to participate in democracy. That right is given to all of us. It's an inalienable right that we have by being American citizens, and it's really not for the government to take away from us.
Absolutely, and with the ex-felons, there were tremendous problems. There was a whole propaganda disinformation campaign to try and convince ex-felons that they weren't allowed to vote when they had that right under Ohio law to register and vote.
Right. For anybody who's not clear, for any of our listeners who may be ex-felons, you can vote. You have to register. Basically, you're not allowed to vote if you're actually incarcerated on a felony. But once you're out of jail, you're allowed to register to vote, and you should.
And don't believe any of the lies. You don't have to go to a judge or your probation officer to get a signature. And
you don't need an expungement.
Yeah, and you can't. Sometimes they'll just make up stuff, like if you got parking tickets, if you're behind on child support, even if you're not convicted of anything, the people will call you up. By the way, Republicans usually working for Karl Rove, and they'll tell you you can't vote. It is a lie. It's a propaganda campaign to suppress poor and minority voters in Ohio, and to suppress particularly ex-felons, because ex-felons, regardless of race, tend to vote overwhelmingly Democratic.
Yeah.
Because of the second chance grants, and usually the social programs that assist felons do not come from, you know, Vice President Ryan and Mitt Romney. Not that Romney doesn't know felons. Most of those were in the stock market.
Yeah, white-collar crimes.
So, this is an important battle. And I'm real happy to see some Democratic election officials willing to be fired over the question of extended hours. We should make it easy for everyone to vote. Here's the problem. The Republicans realize that there's a ceiling. There's an absolute ceiling to how many voters they can pander to on extreme Christian religion and a corporate agenda. And once they hit that ceiling, you know, they threw them a little red meat with VP Ryan there. Once they hit that ceiling, their only other option is to suppress Democratic voters. The Democrats would win every single election if we universally registered every American and we had a 60% voter turnout.
Right. Republicans have been quoted as saying, you know, it's not good for the Republicans if everybody can vote. They definitely have been pretty public about their efforts to suppress the vote so that they can have more victories in elections.
That's why in 34 or so states, they've passed these ballot ID laws. Not because people are committing voter fraud. That's just the snake oil. That's the propaganda they're selling you. You know, in a decade throughout the entire United States, you got 86 cases of voter fraud. None of them involved impersonating somebody else. Just think about this. How logical is it for you to go to poll or back to the same poll impersonating another person and switch an election? That's not how elections are stolen. But they want to create that myth. In Pennsylvania, when they passed this voter ID law to make it difficult for Democrats to vote, for elderly, for students, for people who don't have automobiles to vote, they couldn't cite one source in the last 10 years that showed any, quote, voter fraud. At the same time, the Republican Party, all of the vote counters, all of the hardware and software people are linked directly to the Republican Party, including the, you know, the very scary sounding Command Central.
Well, and that's where the larger scale fraud is going to happen. It's going to be on a systematic level where the people are counting votes and designing the software that can be hacked easily to steal the vote. It's not going to be on an individual level where one person, you know, waits 7 hours in line to vote and then they go to another polling location and wait another 7 hours in line to vote. You know, it's just, it's not going to be a very efficient way to steal the election. It's pretty unlikely that people are actually going to try to do that. It wouldn't have much of an effect on the election anyway.
And here's the untold story as well, Connie. And in 2004, if you voted on election day, there was a much greater chance that your ballot wouldn't be counted. But we'll talk about that in a second.
This is The Other Side of the News with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1.
What I was mentioning, Connie, is, for example, in Toledo, Lucas County, in 2004, tens of thousands of ballots, 90,000 overall, the largest county with the so-called spoiled ballots or uncounted ballots on Diebold machines, by the way, which had been wrongly calibrated by the Diebold workers when their CEO, Wally O'Dell, had pledged to deliver Ohio's vote to his candidate of choice, George W. Bush, and he'd raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for him and met with him at the Crawford Ranchette. Now, in that scenario, you went there and voted on election day. The machine spit your card back out because it was wrongly calibrated, or they'd accidentally, those Diebold people, set up the wrong marking pen. So 90,000 votes were never counted over in the 2004 election. Remember, Bush only won by 118,000 votes, and only 3% of the state was recounted. The projections were if we'd recounted 97% of the state, Kerry would have won and become president. But in addition, 90,000 votes spit out of OptiScan machines, never counted. And the four areas in Toledo with the largest numbers, what do you suppose they had in common, Connie?
I give up.
Wait. Okay, how would you describe the four precincts and wards where the most votes? What would we look for if we were looking at votes not being counted?
That they would be Democratic and black.
Exactly. It's shockingly.
Yeah.
But here's the other game they play. They'll turn around and go, well, 90,000, probably, the state was split down the middle, 51-48. Probably 51% went to Bush, 48% went to Kerry. No, that's the big propaganda lie. These were the intercity of Toledo.
Right. There's a really big problem with saying that the city of Toledo went the same way as the average of the state.
95% of the people in that area voted for Kerry. So are we now going to pretend suddenly
that
51% a majority are voting for George W. Bush? Yeah. Let's go with the crazy cracker guy. Let's vote for George W. Bush. That's not happening in Toledo, right? People aren't sitting around and going, we're sick of that Kerry and all that civil rights. As black people, we want to support George W. Bush. maybe it happened, but in reality, that stuff doesn't happen. So that's part of the problem with the voting, is that people come up with these glamorized standard lies. And one of the biggest lies that's coming out of the Husted affair is that, because there are some people voting on weekends, Connie, that's the military.
Yeah.
And so the notion has been turned around, arguing that there'll be no voting for the military if Obama gets his way.
Right.
It's one of the greatest big lies, in recent times. And here's what would happen. Here's why it's a big lie. In order for that to happen, the legislature would have to reconvene and pass a law taking away military vote. Not going to happen. Neither party wants the military not to vote on weekends. What Obama wants, what the Democrat wants, is the ability for all people, not just the military, but all people to be able to vote on weekends, even rural people in those rural counties.
Well,
but the Republicans spin it by going, what he wants to do is take away the right to vote by the military. What they argued in court, and you'll be familiar with this, is that, look, these people are voting in the military. Why can't all people vote? Why shouldn't everyone be have equal protection under the law.
Right. So they're basically, you know, trying to grant privileges to the military to allow them to vote on the weekends, saying that they've served our country. You know, some of them are disabled, but, you know, they need greater access to the polls. But I would say, you know, there are a lot of people who need greater access to the polls, people who work Monday through Friday, you know, people who, other people who are disabled, other people who have transportation problems, you know, the elderly who may be able, may need to get a ride from the nursing home from their relatives on the weekend to be able to go to the polls.
And nobody wants to take away the right of the military to vote. What we want to do is expand rights
for everyone,
for all people.
Yeah.
But that is the big lie that's gone out there, is that Obama and the Democrats wanted to, and legally, it's one of those things, is, you know, it, this was done by state law, giving the military the right to vote on weekends. You don't need a new state law. All you got to do is open up the boards of election on the weekends in all counties, uniform if you want, John Husted. Uniform, you know, what do you want? Nine to five, 9 to 3, whatever you want, you make them uniform. You don't have to pass a new law. So when you say that the Democrats want to take away the rights of the military, no one is advocating calling an emergency session and passing a law and stripping away military rights. Yeah, I bet if you polled the military, Connie, they would say, of course we defend your rights. That's why we joined the military. We want you to vote. I can't believe there's anyone in the military that's going like, hey, you know, I'm kind of a racist. I want to restrict the rights of people to vote in urban areas.
Or only we get to vote and nobody else. No, I don't think they would say that either.
So that's why this debate has become so bizarre, because all we have to do is do what was done in Ohio in 2008. You open up, you have uniform hours, people show up and vote. The more people who do early voting, the lines are less long, and the more people get to vote on election day and vote quickly.
So what would you say to Republicans who say, oh, well, they only want to open up the vote so that they can win every time?
Well,
it would be so unfair. If we allowed everybody to vote whenever they wanted, then the Democrats would have a clear advantage and they'd be able to win every time.
Yeah, you know, democracy's a bitch when it breaks out. My assumption is you want people.
Yeah. So what?
You want people to vote in elections. The goal of democracy, and I say this as a radical, small-d Democrat, not a member of the Democratic Party, but the goal is to actually get as many people to vote as possible. Hence, ease of voting. By making it easier, more people will vote. So we don't have to be worry about being one of the last in the world in terms of voter turnout. We've got an awful record. A study in the 1980s of the 50 leading democracy placed us at 44th, again, tied with Barbados. Mm-hmm. And a study in the 1990s in our elections placed us 49th out of 50, just barely ahead of Botswana. Now, you know, why don't we take pride in being number one, not in military spending, not in people locked in prison, but in voter turnout? Why don't we make it easy for all Americans to vote? Why are we resorting to the new Jim Crow and saying, well, it's not completely the new Jim Crow, because now we're taking along, you know, white people who are elderly and students of any race, creed, color, or religion? That's what we're doing. We're making it difficult for people who are handicapped, elderly, black, Hispanic, students, disabled, to vote. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves.
Well, regarding those international statistics, Bob, you know, it's amazing that a lot of the pro-war rhetoric talks about bringing democracy, our American democracy, to the rest of the world.
And here's an odd one. We made it really easy to vote in Iraq and Afghanistan. We'll accept 17 different not just two ID cards, as they tried to ram down our throat here in Ohio. 17 different forms of ID. And here's an interesting part, is that someone actually questioned Husted's residency. Because when he was going through a divorce, he was reported to be living with his mistress.
In Indiana? Or
no, in Ohio. Ah. But the place where he was registered to vote, he wasn't really living.
Oh, that's a problem.
So he seems to be quite liberal, uh-huh. and this is positive, quite liberal on allowing you great latitude in showing where you live, like a utility bill, which him and his girlfriend then may have needed to show, because people really weren't sure where John Husted's residence was. So he's very liberal on that issue.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to be accused of election fraud.
Fraud, exactly. You know? So he,
registering at a false address.
And we can give him credit for it. But so he understands that. And he also made a very good point, much to his credit, is like he said, look, most people are not going out and having utilities turned on in their name to commit voter fraud. I'm going to take this bill out in AEP's name and be overcharged for $300 in utilities so I can go and cast an illegal vote.
Yeah, right? Well, he should take some of his own advice.
So absolutely. So he's good on voter ID, but he needs to be better on expanding. See, this, he's got the best of both worlds. Ago. Well, we expanded it a little from 8 to 7, 2 hours after work, 1 hour in the morning. But why not weekends? It worked well in 2008.
Yeah, it really does seem like it's about the black churches saying, hey, in their sermons,
Oh, my God, the blacks are coming to vote en masse.
And then they all get on a bus or in church vans and go and vote.
And
they're making it accessible
to
vote, which is a good thing. Way to go.
Voting black. Yeah. Which means 95% of them,
that's
shockingly, voted for Obama last time.
Right.
And that's what this is really about, that the black vote voted 95% for Obama.
And they're trying to suppress the black vote.
Absolutely. The new Jim Crow, same as the old Jim Crow. You know, in the old days they used the grandfather clause. What, Kunta Kinte? Your grandfather wasn't born in Georgia? You say he was born in Africa? Hence you can't vote ever.
Ever
in Georgia.
Or there have been literacy tests, and that's definitely something that we don't want to do.
Until they were struck down in the Constitution.
So it really seems to me, Bob, like, you know, people who are trying to restrict the vote with voter ID and, you know, all these underhanded tactics, that, to me, those types of people would say, like, well, we don't want everybody to be able to vote. We don't want illiterate people to be able to vote. We don't, you know,
oh, come
blah,
on,
blah,
I
blah.
Let George W. Bush be president.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah, he's pretty illiterate, it seems. So, but yeah, I mean, it seems basically the same. Literacy tests have been struck down, and so should voter ID law.
Absolutely. So these are the key questions. There's an easy solution to it. And also, make sure you go to some of the protests. By the time you hear this, one will be over already, but there'll be a few on Monday. We're recording this on Sunday. But make sure you read the newspapers, you go on website, make sure that you demonstrate to allow all Ohioans to vote. Libertarian, Green, Republicans, even inner city Democrats, all people should have the right to vote equally.
Yep, and don't forget the Socialists and the Constitution Party.
Even the Constitution Party, by God. So, another episode of The Other Side of the News, brought to you by the Columbus Institute for Contemporary Journalism and Connie Goodell Newton, board member of the Institute and attorney at law.
And, of course, we have Bob Fitrakis, the editor of the Free Press.
Freepress.org. Go to freepress.org. Harvey Wasserman and myself will be putting an article out on this.
This is The Other Side of the News with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell-Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1.